This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of the Drive underway. It's your Top 4 at 4, brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive. Here's Jake Miller.
Thanks, Russ. Up first, Texas Tech has fired coach Matt Wells after going 13-17 in 2.5 seasons. The Red Raiders are 5-3 right now and makes for the most wins in his time at Texas Tech. Do you think they pulled the trigger too soon?
I mean, no. Who the hell is Matt Wells? What, did he went there from Utah State, right?
Yeah.
Bet he wishes he had that one to do over again.
Probably.
There's a coaching graveyard. They had
Kingsbury.
And they had Leach.
Yeah.
And since then, they have not had a winning season in conference play.
No.
Since they fired Mike Leach.
No, they're turning into basically the Vandy of the Big 12, in a sense.
I saw, you know who some of their fans want to go get?
Who?
Art Briles.
Really?
Really?
You know, Art and Kendall Briles together again.
That'd be a tough one.
How old is Art Briles now?
He's, 61?
Still you got, that young?
I think he's 61 or 62.
I thought he was a lot older than that.
He's 65.
Oh.
Saban 70.
Yeah, I thought he was going to stroke out at halftime.
That was funny.
You guys think Saban's losing his fastball a little bit? Hold on to that thought. We will circle back after the top four.
All right, number two, highly touted basketball prospect Dylan Mitchell will be committing in just 2 hours. His top three are Tennessee, Florida State, and Texas. Unfortunately, all predictions have him going to Texas.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting him.
That hurts. That'd have been great.
That's all right, man. We'll get BJ and the kid from Memphis, Chandler Jackson, two nice combo guards, and then Rick will go find somebody in the spring.
Well, this is also the class that, you know, Zakai Ziegler and Tomba should have been in.
Yeah, we're going to have a billion point guards, right?
Yeah.
I got plenty of point guards.
Yeah, we'll be fine in the backcourt.
One to watch will be the Kane kid from Catholic.
Who?
Blue Kane.
Oh.
Got a feeling we're going to end up having a fight off Duke.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
He's a Duke legacy.
Is he really?
But
yeah,
guess who's not going to be there next year?
I might have to turn on him if he goes to Duke.
But I mean, I won't be. Once you go Duke, there's no coming back from that. Hopefully the young man will make the right decision. Anywhere but Duke. Hopefully UT.
At number three, we have a top 25 update. Not much change in the top five. Georgia up top, Cincinnati 2. Bama jumps to number 3. Oklahoma 4. Ohio State 5. The biggest drop was Penn State after losing in 9 overtimes with an asterisk.
They're fraud.
They're terrible. They dropped to number 20.
Big 10 Burt, Russell. You like that?
A big belly and an outie belly button.
Borderline erotic.
That's disgusting.
Has he still got that hot wife?
Still got that Audi belly button and a big belly.
Who cares about that?
Did you see the picture Cole Kubelik posted from their game of they had a formation with 9 offensive linemen, quarterback and a running back behind him. Just line it up and bring it. I don't even know if that's legal, but they did it, by gum. You guys think Cincinnati, I mean, if they finish this thing off, go 12-0, And
they would absolutely get crushed by half the top 10.
I mean, will they even make it?
They took Georgia to the limit last year, though, I thought.
They did, and they beat Notre Dame decisively in
South Bend. I don't think Notre Dame's that damn
South
good.
Bend.
Oh, they're the most overrated team in college football every year.
My question was going to be, do you guys think that the committee would put them in the college football playoff?
I think you have to.
Let them get crushed in the first round?
I don't think they get crushed, man. I mean, especially if they're – I don't know. That would be a fun rematch against Georgia. I mean, I think Georgia would certainly beat them, but
– they'd come out firing.
Yeah, I mean, they play really good defense. Cincinnati does. And I'm just I'm not totally sold on Georgia's offense. I think Alabama will give them trouble. I think it could be a lower scoring game than they're accustomed to. And, well, it's Georgia, man. I mean, I've been waiting 40 years for this. And are they man enough to walk through that door?
No.
I have to see it to believe it.
And number four, a start time has been announced. Tennessee will take on Kentucky at Kroger Field in 12 days at 7 o'clock on ESPN2.
You know I hate the road night games, but
when's the last time we played a day game in Lexington? The only one I can think of is 2011.
Oh, we used to do it all the time.
Yeah, it was probably the Dooley game.
Like the only when
Remember,
I think of go ahead.
Terry's senior year. Oh, it's Peyton games. Remember they had the Bermuda grass? It was always their field was always like totally brown.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about Kentucky day games in November.
Billy Jack Haskins.
Yeah, the only thing I think of is dead grass and Tennessee in the Adidas uniforms just absolutely mauling them.
Just whipping them. Whipping them. Oh, how fun would it be just go out there and blast them. Put up 35 in the first half. Cruise home to a 49-17 win, something like that.
That'd be awesome.
We owe them. Owe them for last year. Folks, that's your top four at four, brought to you by Citizens National Bank, home of the Plus Perks checking account. It's the newest way to save big. It's also the easiest way to save big. Get access to thousands of discounts on shopping, dining, entertainment, and travel with the CNB Plus Perks checking account. Find out more at cnbtn.com. Or just call 865-453-9031 and tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Tennessee entering full off-week mode, no practice. Guys catching up on some sleep, some sleepy coaches, players resting, some bumps and bruises. Time to get healed and get ready to go to Lexington. Take on the Wildcats, a chance to really make the season. I mean, it turns out that Ole Miss and Kentucky are the swing games, and you narrowly miss against Ole Miss a couple of weeks ago, and you've got another great opportunity to beat Kentucky and make a little bit of noise, give your fans something to get excited about, something to sell to recruits, and a chance to finish the season strong. Do you guys think Nick Saban is losing his fastball as he approaches the age of 70?
No, I think he's losing his patience. He's got some issues, man. But no, I don't think he's losing his fastball at all.
He turned 70 in 6 days, by the way. Happy birthday, Nick.
I mean, the only thing that's different now is that his defenses aren't as dominant. But everybody, with the exception of probably Georgia, has a hard time because of the rule changes and the modern spread offense.
Yeah, I mean, they're 15th nationally in total defense. Isn't it something that we look at them and we're having this conversation about them losing their fastball and they're still that good?
Well, I mean, yeah, but, I mean, when everybody points to, you know, when they're downturn, when we had the big streak on them, they still won an SEC championship. Is it 2000? Yeah, it was 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Or 99.
They had Sean Alexander kind of just
that'd have been 99.
Put them on their back.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I can't remember who they played. I was in I remember I was in an emergency room.
I don't remember who they beat in the championship game, but I remember that year they won in the swamp. They won a wild one in the swamp. But it was that's ancient history. I still think they're going to be pretty good, man. Obviously they posed problems for us, and I think that, like I said earlier, I think Georgia's going to have a hard time moving the ball on them.
That could be I'm looking forward to that one. I think they'll probably beat Georgia.
Is there a possibility that one of those teams does not get in?
No.
Yeah. To the playoff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. The playoff or the championship game?
The playoff.
If Georgia beats Alabama, they will not go to the playoff.
No, they go to the Sugar Bowl.
Which would be pretty funny. But, you know, they would just use that as motivation to come back and destroy everybody. You know, they'll throw a couple more $1 million at it, hire 17 more analysts, buy themselves a couple of new playmakers, and go out there and put up a 15-0 the next year. I do think that, hey, guy's 70 years old, all things come to an end. I think that the game is changing rapidly, and eventually there will be a drop-off there, I'm sure.
But it's not coming soon.
It's not here yet, but, no. Well, I don't know. I mean, is what
he kind of reminds me of, like, you know, everybody always expect Nolan Ryan to drop off.
Well, and eventually did.
After about 20 years.
Well, I'm just asking, like, is this the first cracks in the armor that we're seeing? No, it's not terrible. They're still probably the second best team in the country this year. But they are not the dominant force. I mean, 3 years ago, would we have been able to hit three bombs on them like that in Tuscaloosa? Would we have been able to block a punt? Would we have been able to make it a one-score game in the fourth quarter?
Absolutely not.
I mean, probably not, but I think that's got more to do with our coaching staff at the time and other factors rather than Saban losing his fastball.
I thought that the matchup, the mental matchup between Banks and Billy O'Brien was not the decisive mismatch that some people probably figured it would be. I thought that Tennessee was able to really frustrate them, and you know, they were trying to hit that bomb all night long, and they finally hit it to go up two scores. Really wish Heupel had gone for that short fourth and one at midfield. Didn't. Defense was playing all right. Like, I kind of get it. Not killing him for this decision, but he punted the ball to him, and that was, I'm pretty sure that was the series where they hit the bomb against us, hit the touchdown to go up 38-24, and then we're driving, and we throw the interception, and it was ball game over.
Yeah. It happened quick down there.
But up until then, I thought Banks was – I mean, he had a good game plan. They were trying to get deep on us all night long. They couldn't do it, and they were getting frustrated. And then they
– I couldn't quite understand why they didn't come out in the second half and just line up and just run Robinson right at us. And when he got winded, put the other kid in.
I mean, I think we were shutting it down pretty good there at the end of the first half and beginning of the second half. I mean, there's that once – what, we came out in the second half and got a stop. We forced them to punt, and then I think we ended up going three and out. And then they went three and out, and we blocked the punt. Was their second possession. So, I mean, you talk about a massive opportunity right there in the middle eight. We were getting stops the end of the second quarter – beginning of the third quarter and just couldn't convert. I mean, we had 3
didn't
points.
Capitalize.
And you got 3 points out of it. And here's the thing about Josh Heupel that when we talk about adjustments that he's going to have to make, and I mean, this is not something he doesn't know because he's played in some of these games and he's won some of these games at the lower level that he came from. But if Tennessee is going to play this style, they're going to have to be able to score in the 40s and 50s against teams like Alabama, because Alabama's built for this. They've been, you know, they made the switch when Kiffin was there to, after Hugh Freeze beat him a couple times, Saban said, all right, we need to be able to win these games. And since then, they win those games. They win games 54 to 48. And they've been there and they're equipped to do it. And they put up the 50 points. They put up the 50 burger the other night, and Tennessee wasn't able to do it. And it's easy, I think, to sit there and say, well, you're not going to win many games giving up 50 points. And okay, fair enough. But it's 2021 modern college football, and when you're playing as fast as Heupel likes to do on the offense, you better score, because you're going to be putting your defense in that type of situation. I think he understands that. He knows that. And he expects to score more. They're not able to do it. But I don't think it's going to be a thing where you can realistically expect to win a game like that 34 to 31. Like you
not
better,
anymore.
You better score touchdowns. Take a quick timeout. We'll come right back with these phone calls. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. It's a Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. TJ, the Kentucky fan, is next. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, fellas? You know, just got off work, got home, having a brewski. The wife took the kids to Buffalo with Wild Wings, so I've got the house to myself for a couple hours.
Those all
terrible
right.
Wings.
Hey, you know, unpopular opinion, I can find better wings that's not at Buffalo Wild Wings. Yes? No?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't take anything more than a pulse to do that.
I don't mind BW3. I mean, wings to me are like pizza and sex. Even when it's not very good, it's still pretty cool.
I'm going to bring you terrible wings and terrible pizza.
Well, no, you don't need to do that. I mean, I know what it's like, but I don't know why we got to hate on them.
I'm not hating on them. I'm just saying
they have terrible. You're not. I'm not hating on them. I'm just saying the thing they're known most for sucks.
Well, I mean, he ain't lying. Hey, look, I got two things. My Titans, boy, I tell you what, man, Patrick Mahomes, he had a good 3 or 4 year run, but man, I don't know what's going on with the Chiefs, but they ain't the Chiefs this year. I can tell you that much.
Jeffrey Simmons might have killed Mahomes.
Oh, rest in peace.
My Lord.
Rest in peace.
I mean, like, I've never seen a guy's head actually pop off in a game, but that was pretty darn close. And, you know, I know they say he's not in protocol or whatever. They took him in the magic tent. You saw his eyes rolling around in his head yesterday after that play. That dude got his bell rung.
He looked like one of them Lego men where his head just pops out. Like, you know, he had a freaking neck.
Oh.
He's got neck pain like crazy today. You know he does.
Hey, man, the Titans are playing really well right now. Really well. And they did not start the season really well. I don't know if they're going to finish the season, if they can keep this up for 2 or 3 more months, whatever it's got to be. But there's no doubt they're one of the 2 or 3 best teams in football right now.
Hey, they also said that Patrick Mahomes said that the MVP award is like the Heisman in that it's a quarterback award. So Derrick Henry yesterday said, hold my beer, I'll throw a touchdown pass too. But anyways, we're looking at Kentucky and Tennessee 2 weeks away. And I love this game. Even though the overall record is horrible for Kentucky, Kentucky-Tennessee was my first game in Lexington as a kid. I went all the time because I grew up in Chattanooga. I went all the time in Knoxville. I love this rivalry. I wish they would bring
Whoa. Sorry to interrupt, but I got to stop you. You grew up in Chattanooga?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I went to
Kentucky fan.
I went to Saudi Daisy High School, man.
Why are you a Kentucky fan?
Because me and my sister are the only two in our family that haven't been, that wasn't born in Kentucky. I literally grew up, every summer I'd go back to Kentucky with my family, my grandmas, my grandpas, my uncles. Like, I grew up blue. I'm sorry. I can't help it, brother.
Okay.
But anyway.
Go ahead.
Kentucky is a 2-point underdog to Mississippi State. My question to you is, if Kentucky loses or wins, whatever, what is your starting out spread for the Tennessee-Kentucky game?
Well, I mean, I think it depends greatly on whether they lose or win. I kind of feel like they're going to win. If they win at Mississippi State, I think that they will be a 3 to 5 point favorite over Tennessee, leaning closer to 3. Now, if they lose at State this weekend, I think it's they might be a 1 or 2 point favorite.
Now, you know, we haven't won at Mississippi State in a very long time.
Really?
I'm pretty sure the overall record is like 19 and 18 or some crap like that, and we've lost at Mississippi State probably 12 or 13 times in a row.
Hmm. Well,
even 2 years ago, well, what, 3 years ago when we were ranked, no, we played them at home that year. But the next year, we lost to Mississippi State at, I don't know what it is, man, Mississippi State. They got them freaking cowbell crap.
You can't beat Florida and LSU and turn around and lose to Mississippi State in Starkville. I mean, good teams don't do that, TJ.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
And well, Kentucky's good enough defensively to where Rodgers shouldn't be able to sit back there all night and pick them apart. I would imagine Stoops is going to come after him. And, you know, you're going to have to get that offense together. I don't know why, with the talent they have, that they haven't been more explosive. But I think Stoops is going to have to let those guys turn it loose a little bit more. But this is not if your program, TJ, is what you want it to be and where you guys hope it is and where it should be, then this is a game you win. You go down there and you beat Mississippi State in Starkville. And if you don't, then I think that there's going to be an expectation of Tennessee winning up there in Lexington here in a couple of weeks.
I completely agree. Good news. It's not as bad, so we got Ali and McCall back. I hope you guys enjoy the bye week. I love the bye weeks because I don't have to worry about Kentucky football, just like you guys don't have to worry about Tennessee football. You can actually lay back and watch some good football and get your guys better. So hopefully you guys get injury-free and us too, and we have a good game. Y'all have a good one, man.
Here, here. Thank you, TJ. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Of course, the game of the week, SEC football, is Georgia and Florida, the cocktail party.
Whoa, Russ. It's not the cocktail party anymore.
It's the cocktail party. They say whatever they want. It's the cocktail party.
What has the media changed its
name
to?
What are they calling it?
Is it the largest outdoor tailgate or something like that?
Good Lord.
I Jake, never seen him more offended, right? Jake Miller, low-key, really offended by PC language. Not even low-key, just very offended by it.
He's an old row kind of guy.
3:30 CBS kickoff. Dogs, Gators, do we give Florida any chance of pulling the shocker upset this week? -14, the spread for Georgia right now.
Sure. They've beat them before when they've been underdogs like this.
You're going to have to make plays throwing the ball.
They figure, have they named a starter yet?
I assume they're going to stick with Emory Jones.
Emory?
If the other guy gets in the portal, if you're Tennessee, would you make a run at him, Richardson?
No. I'm telling you, man.
Not for next year. I understand that. But isn't he a freshman?
He's going somewhere where he can start.
Okay. I mean, if you're Heupel and you're a great recruiter, say, hey, come in here, back up Hendon Hooker, learn our system for a year. By the way, he's already been banged up. We might need you. We oftentimes do need two quarterbacks. And then once he leaves, you'll have 2 years to be the man. You'll win a Heisman Trophy. You'll be Tennessee's first Heisman winner.
I mean, I think you could definitely try that. I don't see somebody like that coming here. Now, to me, it'd be a huge step down from Hooker. Huge.
Let's grab a call from Derek. Good afternoon, Derek. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, it's going well. How are you, sir?
Doing great. I'm really disappointed that I didn't get a rise of some sort to come on Maynardville mad after the Kentucky caller.
Why's
that? He was nice.
Yeah, he always
he was nice.
Does.
He's good. He wasn't a typical Cats fan. It's not going to be a good game. We're going to go up there and just absolutely grass stain their teeth. But I wanted to revisit something that you guys were talking about earlier about, how do we handle mobile quarterbacks? How do we ramp up some pressure? Because eventually coverage breaks down, right? Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to kind of throw a couple things out there that I see that limit us. Clearly, we're paper thin at linebacker. It is the least talented group that we have. So it's going to be a smoke and mirrors game. In order to bring what looks like a lot of pressure, the one thing I haven't seen Tennessee do, yeah, they bring five and six guys, sometimes even a seven-man pressure. But they're bringing it across the width of the offensive front. We need to overload one side or the other of the offensive front and then have one of our more skilled defensive ends, which are pretty good, especially Barron having a good year, to be the opposite side of that pressure to wait on whatever flushes. So three and four-man pressures against one side of the offense and then two guys being extraordinarily gap sound on the opposite side of that pressure. I think that's really the only answer that we have right now, and it's a very temporary Band-Aid. And it can be boom and bust.
Sounds good to me. Makes good sense. But
just want to throw it out there.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get more pressure, right? I mean, if
absolutely.
And it seems like when Tennessee has gotten pressure, they're getting better at getting the quarterback on the ground in the pocket. But, man, once he gets out of that pocket.
On the ground or a much faster decision, right? Either on the ground or a much faster decision.
Yeah.
A rapid decision oftentimes. If you have good coverage on the back end, at least initially, that quick decision that they have to make can oftentimes be a bad one.
Yeah, we saw that
Saturday
night.
Especially against a quarterback that doesn't have a ton of reps.
So I'll give is it Byron Young?
Yeah.
Brian Young?
Yeah, Byron.
The kid from
he's going to be good.
The quarterback from Alabama. Bryce Young. I mean, I'll take my hat off to him. He got absolutely tattooed several times by us and stood in there and took it. But, yeah, the caller's exactly right. We got to get pressure.
Yeah, it's confusing because Alabama has a Byron Young on the defensive line. Tennessee has a Byron Young on the defensive line. And then they've got Bryce Young at quarterback. So a lot going on there.
It's like one of those Jason Williams deals in basketball.
Yeah.
You got like 50 of
them. Where we seem to have trouble is when quarterbacks step up into the pocket and or break through our defensive line, and then it's Katie Barr the door. They're off to the races because we're so weak at linebacker.
Anything else, Derek?
That's it, guys. Appreciate your time.
Hey,
have a good one.
Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate you. Folks, the GNJ October giveaway continues. GNJ Autographics, Knoxville's premier auto care company, making the month of October a guaranteed winner for our fan-run listeners. Continuing with these giveaways, we had three of them last Friday. The ceramic pro coatings, the window tints, the car details, they do it all. You love your car. You want your car looking good. That's what G&J Auto Graphics is here for. Go to fanrunradio.com right now. Click on the G&J giveaway graphic. Register to win this week. You get a free auto detail job. You could get a free window tint. You could get a free clear bra, free ceramic pro. So much, so many opportunities to win with GNJ all this month right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. It's Overreaction Monday. Presented by the Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. We appreciate them, their sponsorship, their support these many years, doing the Overreaction Monday thing, making it possible for us to just sit around and take phone calls. Great way to start the week during football season. You check them out, one of their now two area locations, the original on Bearden Hill, right next to Soccer Taco, and the all-new Blount County location on Gill Street in Alcoa. I was out there a couple weeks ago. Beautiful new facility they've got out there. And for those of you listening on the app, statewide, they've got locations in Chattanooga and Murfreesboro as well. Check out the Phone Exchange. Tell them Fan Run sent you. Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. The other bowl projection, we were talking earlier about the projection having us play Clemson in Charlotte. ESPN has Tennessee playing North Carolina in Charlotte.
We owe them one.
That would be a fun matchup, too. Yes, because they've stolen recruits. They've stolen a little bit of our swaggers. Well, not
stolen a game.
Stolen a game, yeah.
Who's that? You guys are breaking up.
North Carolina. They have not been nearly the thorn in our side that Clemson has been. Don't get me wrong, but that one would be sweet as well. Who would you rather play, North Carolina or Clemson?
Probably Clemson.
I think if you want to make a statement, you have to play Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you want to springboard your program, just come out and beat somebody like a proverbial government mule, you want to play Clemson.
Which, I mean, I don't know how much national pop that gets you because Clemson's been bad this year. I think people just sort of given up on them. But that would be a good one, too. Brett on Twitter says he's also seen us playing Wisconsin in the Music City Bowl.
Ugh.
I don't want any part of that.
Wisconsin.
It's just a boring team, a boring game, and a place we go a lot anyway. I know the coaches would probably be fine with it because of all the mid-state prospects that we recruited and everything, but it's just
– it's not like they're going to bring us any cheese down.
Nah. They'll bring us a steady diet of 3 yards in a cloud of dust and make it difficult. I mean, that'd be the most difficult opponent too, I think, out of Clemson and North Carolina, Wisconsin. That's
– yeah, boring.
Yeah, I don't want to play them.
When was the last time we played over there, Butch?
Yes. We were supposed to go in 2018? And then we ended up going to, Tax Slayer Bowl? Yeah.
Yeah, we've never been to the Dukes Bowl. We've never been to that bowl game in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Never been there.
The Belk Bowl.
Have not played in the Liberty Bowl in ages and ages and ages, and have never been to that Birmingham Bowl either. Thank God.
I don't want to go to the Birmingham Bowl.
Nobody wants to go to the
Supposedly,
Birmingham Bowl.
Supposedly, that's a crazy scene down there at the Birmingham Bowl.
See, it's played at Legion Field, right?
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy about it?
I just heard it's a good time.
Aren't you in the middle of a cow field, though?
No, you're in the middle of a not very nice part of town.
Worst part of Birmingham.
Ugh. I'll take your word for it on the Birmingham Bowl. I'm sure there are fine folks, many fine people I'm sure it'd be a lot of fun to go down there and tailgate in a parking lot in Birmingham in December.
With bad interstates and 50 million billboards for Alexander Shinura.
I'm not saying that the weather would be any nicer in Nashville or Memphis or Charlotte. I'm just saying I'd rather play Clemson, wherever that game would take place. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. A couple lines available if you want to jump in right now. Take a shot, 865-546-8200. Holden on Twitter says, we are the Ole Miss of last year. Beat the teams we should. Play all the teams that are way better than us close. Let's get healthy and put Kentucky back in the caves. I think we are on the Ole Miss trajectory. I've been saying that for a while. Great minds think alike, Holden.
And yeah, you have. I really don't like it that you've dropped your some of your funnier bits about the Kentucky fan base.
Yeah, they might have to come back if we win. If All right. we win, voluntary reaction, and it'll be another late night voluntary reaction. If Tennessee wins, that'll be fun. It'll be the biggest win we've had since what? Boy, this is a sad conversation.
Probably Auburn. Under Pruitt.
Since we beat them last time in, what was that, 2018?
2018.
Surely.
So the Texler Bowl would have been 2019.
Who did we beat 2019? It would be the biggest win we've had since beat Indiana.
Indiana.
God, we got to have some big wins, man. This is a pathetic conversation. Beating Indiana and Kentucky.
What are we doing?
Big wins. What are we doing? What has become of us? How did this happen?
We hired Lane Kiffin and a parade of idiots after that. What do you mean how it's happened? You've been on the air the whole damn time.
Bad coaches and bad athletic directors who get to go through several bad coaches before somebody realizes that athletic director is the problem.
It didn't happen overnight. It just slowly, sure, bad decisions after other bad decisions compounding themselves each time. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's the best win we've had since Kentucky or Indiana. Listen to us. It's disgraceful. It's an outrage. But he's absolutely right, man. This is the track that Kiffin has taken. And you go back and you look at their season last year. They went 4-5. But the narrative was, oh, they played Alabama close. They hung in there with Alabama. Now, the scoreboard probably doesn't show that we hung in there with Alabama over the weekend. But anybody who watched that game knows that they had a puncher's chance going into the fourth quarter. And it got away from them quickly. And
that's how it goes down there.
But Lane Kiffin was able to establish a new brand of football and change that program's – I hate this term, but it's important. Change the culture. He was able to do that. And look at him this year. They're off to the races. And Tennessee can absolutely be – if you come back next year with Hendon Hooker and you get Calbert back and maybe – a grad transfer on that offensive line, and you bring everybody else back except for Cade, and these wide receivers come along, some of these young guys who weren't quite ready this year, your Callaways, your Hyatts, those guys continue to develop. If Tyon Evans comes back, you right. will absolutely have that level of offense next year. You're going to have one of the top five or so offenses in college football.
No, we'll be a trendy pick next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to make the offseason a lot of fun too, you know? Having some hope, having some expectation. Florida game looms large already. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Portions of the show this afternoon brought to you by Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. Folks, never too soon, you youngins out there, never too soon to start planning for your retirement. just putting a little bit away every month now will really add up by the time your Bears age.
Whoa.
Nothing?
You taking a shot at me?
I'm just kidding. And you,
the older the grape, the sweeter the wine, my friend.
Well, and the flip side of it is, you folks who are Bears age, if you haven't started building a rainy day fund, a little nest egg for yourself, it's never too late either. Call Les Turner at Right Approach Financial, 865-498-3047. He'll help you get started. He'll show you the way. He'll show you the outside of the puzzle box, as he likes to say. You got to have a plan. You got to know where you're going. Visit him online at rightapproachfinancial.com. Tell him we sent you. He'll give you a free consultation. Les Turner at Right Approach Financial, 865-498-3047, rightapproachfinancial.com. Let's grab a call from Jamie. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on the drive.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up?
Russ, you asked a question since you brought it up. I always like to jump in on this. You said, how did we get here? I mean, being rhetorical.
It's right up your alley, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you know it. I mean, but we've hired, it's like Bear said, we've hired some buffoons as coaches, but, I mean, we've allowed it to happen. I mean, we don't demand for better.
Done it to ourselves, as Pruitt would say.
We have some responsibility in it.
Well, not this show and this station as much as others. I mean, but we've grown comfortable with, the 8 wins against the Mississippi States and Vanderbilts that Pruitt was able to put together. We rode that hard into his last year, you know, Butch Jones letting the Sugar Bowl squeeze through his fingers by a loss to Vanderbilt. And we all touted about how he got 9 wins, I've looked around and it's like, dude, everybody else is really cares more about their football programs than we. Look at Texas Tech. They fired a guy midseason for being under 500.
How many years had that guy been there?
Two and a half. And he was having his best year ever. He's 5-3.
You think we would do that here?
No.
Hell no, we wouldn't do it here. And we're supposed to have a traditionally better football program than Texas Tech.
Well,
I mean, you can't.
I think we all know that the hires were bad. In hindsight, it's obvious. And a lot of people had their questions at the time, and that's fair. But I think once you make the hire, like, you really got to screw up bad to get fired in year two or after year two. And that's just generally not going to happen. And
like Dooley?
Yeah. And listen, at that time, I didn't see a ton of people calling for his head after year two, because it was the loss to Kentucky and it stunk. But what were they, 5-7, I guess, that year? And Bray had gotten hurt, and
I wanted him fired.
But you knew he was coming back, and you're going to have a good offense and everything. And
but he just kept trotting Matt Sims out there.
Yeah,
if he starts Tyler Bray from the get go, he might have another win or two first year.
I think what happened the Dooley era, I think if that had come, you know, 3 coaches past Fulmer, they might have hollered for it after year two. But I think that a lot of fans around here were under the impression that the Power T was going to win, regardless of who was walking the sideline. I think they thought that just because the guy was not Philip Fulmer, he was going to win. I mean, but the guy, you know, when you take a closer look, you know, the guy wasn't recruiting. His game day coaching was awful. You know, the Vanderbilt win in overtime where he turns around and screams at his assistants, that's just the things you don't see from winners. And, you know, but unfortunately that's kind of carried on through the other 3 coaches, is that everybody around here finds a way to get on board with these guys. And getting on board is one thing, giving a guy a chance is one thing, but to suggest, like, Pruitt, 8 wins against nobody, we acted like that was the sign that he was going to get it done. And maybe that's just it, fellas, that getting it done around here means something different than what we used to think getting it done was. getting it done was, you know, we should roll out of bed into a bowl game every season. Does anybody argue that?
No, but I don't get what you're are you taking a, are you laying some more groundwork here? I mean, what's the deal?
Yeah, where's this
going,
Jamie?
You don't think Eiffel's
going
to get it done? Hey, where are we going, Jamie?
Let's worry about the journey of the phone call rather than when the flush comes. But I'm not, all I'm doing right now is answering Russ's question. This has absolutely nothing to do with Josh Heupel. And if your three comes and Josh Heupel didn't make it and we have to fire him or whatever, I still will contend that he had the best resume of anybody we've hired. I mean, this is nothing negative on Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
He was actually a head coach and was a winner. You know, he didn't go up there, you know, follow on who's the Notre Dame head coach again, fellas?
Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly. Okay. He didn't go follow along on his coattails and take programs that were undefeated and start going 8-4.
No, the guy that you're talking about also had Antonio Brown and Travis Kelce carrying him up and down the field those two stops.
Now, wait a minute. I mean, the naysayer would point out that he did ride Scott Frost's coattails, who had gone 12-0 when he got that job, right?
Right.
So.
Right. Those are similar resumes. I'll tell you what, though. When we hired Josh Heupel, I was a lot more optimistic about him than Butch Jones. You can see the stupid look in Butch Jones's face. And when you hear him talk, he tries to talk as if he's smarter than everybody else, but the words that come out of his mouth don't back that up. You know, I'm not a grass expert. When on TV, you couldn't even make out the yard lines or the number, on the field. Him having a list in his pocket of journalists that he had a problem with, rather than worrying about the product on the football field, he was worried about everything else and talked to everybody like everybody else was stupid. So I don't know, guys. I just think that this fan base, I'm watching other schools just pass us up in expectations. And I'm watching other programs pass us up as far as what they'll allow. I mean, like I said, in other phone
Well, this place about- needs to have some expectations. And this has kind of been, we get back to today's hot question about moral victories and this year is what it is. It's year one, and he's in the midst of a mess, both on the field and off. But next year, provided we don't get just terrible news from the NCAA before the season kicks off next year, which could have some bearing on the expectations, but from where I sit today, the expectations should be high next year for Josh Heupel.
Exactly. What about this one, guys? We had never even talked about this, the fact that all these other programs have snatched up the NIL and run with it, and Danny No Nugs, he's not really doing well as far as helping his coaches.
I want to be so sure about that. We can expound on that a little bit more for you coming up here in hour number three, Jamie. But we're out of time, man. Appreciate the phone call. Hour number three coming up. Jake's got your top five at five. And we will head down the home stretch when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.